Hi, everybody. Welcome to Steelers.com Live. I'm Missy Matthews. It is Friday. It's finally the regular season, week one. So that means that Bob Labriola and Mike Rasuda are joining me. We're going to take your questions on Twitter. Just use hashtag Live@4. We're going to play Let's Face It. So, guys, happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday to you too, Missy. And it's about time we get to play a little football at the Council on the Standings. What do you think there, Mikey?
She said those words I've been longing to hear, Bob. It's finally the regular season. I am ready for some regular season football.
All right. Well, as we get prepared for the Steelers to take on the Titans on Sunday at Heinz Field, let's take a look at the status report that was released by Coach Tomlin after practice today. Guys, no big surprise. Le'Veon Bell will not be playing. Doubtful is Heath Miller, and we'll get to him a little bit later. Probable is Will Johnson with that hamstring injury, Jarvis Jones with the SC sprain in the chest, and Brett Kiesel not related to injury. Are you surprised, Bob, that Miller's listed as doubtful?
Well, not really. For me, it was never really a realistic scenario that he was going to play this week, I didn't think. He did go through some practice, did some things over the course of the week. But, I mean, I didn't see from Heath Miller what I think you need to see from a guy to put him out on the field, especially in a regular season game at that speed. He hasn't played really at all didn't play at all in the preseason, really hasn't even practiced much at practice speed. So, to me, it's just a designation. He was out, in my mind, all week.
Although maybe a little carrot for Heath Miller or a little pat on the back. You know, Heath has talked about
I'll give you that.
Getting back on the field with his teammates and what a big deal that was to him. He said he's excited about it. I know this because he said he's excited. He said, I'm excited. That's all I could tell. Because with Heath, normally you can't tell if he's excited or crestfallen.
Right, can't read
it's kind of flat
mood,
line.
Right.
But he is perceived getting back out there and doing at least what he's doing as a big deal. And that's part of the road to recovery, too. You can tell the anticipation is building. He actually told me this week he is going to play at some point this season. Hadn't heard him say that before. And I think it's going to be sooner rather than later. So, probably not Sunday, but maybe not long thereafter.
Yeah, and I'll bet you that he's on the inactive list, too. Despite the being with your teammates thing, practicality is practicality. He's not ready to play. Doubtful or out, he will be inactive Sunday.
What about Will Johnson, Bob? Not nervous at all, but worried that this hamstring injury is kind of nagging him in just the terms of how he's not been able to practice a lot this week?
Well, we'll see with Will Johnson. I mean, I really think the Steelers have a little bit of a decent backup scenario there with David Johnson. They have three tight ends plus Will Johnson plus Kelvin Beachum for those various, job descriptions that they're looking for to get accomplished. So if Will Johnson is somewhat impaired to the degree where he might be inactive on Sunday, I think the Steelers really don't miss a beat hardly at all. They just put David Johnson as the move tight end / fullback. Then you also have David Paulson. You also have Michael Palmer. You also have Kelvin Beachum. So whatever they need to get done in that area, I think they can get done even if Will Johnson is unable to go Sunday.
Now, one concern of mine would be special teams. He was a four special teams guy at times this preseason. Punt, return, kickoff, return. There aren't a lot of those. And that's a significant spot to fill if he should start and prove unable to continue going in the second quarter. He's a guy, interesting guy, whether he plays this week or not, guys. Will Johnson has really come a million miles from where he was a year ago. Kind of an unknown quantity, a guy who had never played that position before. And all of a sudden, at times in camp, he's looked like he can be very effective from that fullback spot periodically.
Yeah, and it's more than just the lead blocker, too. The guy can't catch the football. I've seen him do some things in the passing game that are a little bit special in terms of guys that the Steelers have normally lined up at that spot. So, yeah, Will Johnson is more than just, all due respect to Dan Kreider, than Dan Kreider was, just a battering ram up there between the tackles. Will Johnson, he can catch the ball. If you don't cover him on those wheel routes, I mean, he can run the pattern and, catch the ball over his shoulder like a real receiver, as opposed to a lot of times fullbacks, when they run patterns, they have to turn, face the quarterback, throw it to them, and then they try and get something with it after. Will Johnson, as a receiver in college, which is what he was at West Virginia for a time anyway, you know, he can run routes and catch the ball like receivers do.
Now, he's a fullback. If he catches the ball, does that count as a running back catching the ball out of the backfield?
Yes.
Because I've only been waiting to see that happen. Has it been 2 years?
Be patient.
Longer?
Patience, my son, patience.
Limited in the earlier portions of the week. Past few days, though, guys, he has been a full participant, and I spoke to him in the locker room after practice to see how he's feeling.
Man, everything. I participated in pretty much everything this week in practice, you know, just trying to get better, understanding our game plan and preparing, and just staying focused, you know. This is a big game for us, our season opener, and we're excited.
Would you say you're 100% health-wise?
I'm good. I'm good to go, man. I'm excited to get back out there and hit. You know, I missed the last preseason game. I really wish I could have got out there and played, but, you know, this one right here for all the Marvels, and the wins and losses does count. So, you know, we just got to home in and stay focused. And for me, I got to continue to watch myself and my body, you know, and it's going to be a long season, so I got to take care of that.
Do you think health-wise that kind of helps with the rotation outside linebacker between you, Wood, and Worlds?
I mean, I think we got a good situation right here, and our coaches definitely understand what they're doing, you know. And, you know, all three of us are capable of making plays, so why not?
Mike, what do you think about that outside linebacker rotation? Do you think Jarvis said there, yeah, could be, you know, keep everybody fresh, everybody healthy, but what's your take on this?
I think I'm a bigger fan of it than Lamar Woodley, but I'm also curious to see how it works out. You know, one of the things that might happen is you might see Jarvis Jones coming on the field on third downs, doing some of that stand-up stuff and off-the-ball stuff, you know, when they get that little amoeba defense thing working. It might not be a pure rotation in the purest sense of the word, but when Mike Tomlin says Jarvis Jones is going to play, I take him at his word. And I also think that one of the guys who has really been supportive of that type of philosophical shift is Brett Kiesel. He wants to see a rotation on a defensive line as well, and he thinks not only are you going to keep players fresher for later in games, but you're going to keep players fresher for later in the season when it really matters. So maybe you do it for a while here at the outset, and then you reevaluate a couple weeks into it. But this guy has done nothing to suggest he shouldn't be on the field at least some of the time.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the rotation is going to be planned for to some degree, you know, tomorrow, maybe even Sunday morning as the Steelers kind of make their final preparations for the 1 p.m. kickoff. And then the rotation will be in effect early. And I really don't think that there'll be a lot of resistance to it at that point. Now, after that, two things. Number one, I don't necessarily believe it's going to be an equal rotation throughout the game. And by equal rotation, what I mean is that everybody plays the same number of snaps.
What we saw against Kansas City in the first half.
Right. Yeah, I don't think that it's going to be like that strict. But what I think will happen is that someone will be able to blow up the rotation with their play if you know, they put up some stats. I mean, if Jason Worlds has two sacks in the first quarter, I don't know if they're, you know, pulling him out necessarily, or if Lamar Woodley or if Jarvis Jones, I mean, whoever might make a couple of big plays early, I think that, you know, the Steelers will stick with that individual. But, you know, the concept of keeping these guys fresh, not only for the fourth quarter, but also later in the season, is a real one. It's not just something that, you know, we talk about here. It's real in terms of in that locker room and in that coaching room.
The other thing I like about it is it seems to me that they are dealing from a position of strength, and it's not, oh, God, we don't have a replacement for James Harrison, so let's rotate some guys in and out and see if somebody gets that ball and runs with it. It looks like, to me at least, all of these guys have had productive springs. Woodley looks much better and much healthier. Probably no coincidence there than he did a year ago. When he is healthy, he's usually on. I think Jason Worlds has answered the challenge of a number one guy, a number one pick at his position, and Jarvis Jones breathing down his neck. And I think Jarvis Jones has done what you'd like to see all the rookies do. He has limited his mental mistakes. His camp has gone on. He's been able to take on more, and he's been able to play at a high level throughout. So it's embarrassment of riches other than grasping at straws.
Yeah, because one of the sayings is, you know, in the NFL, if you think you have two quarterbacks, you really have none. This is not that situation to me. The Steelers really do have three outside linebackers as this season opens here Sunday. Now, you know,
They play a 3-5?
2 weeks from now, you know, they may have three outside linebackers, but two of them have separated, you know, from the third sufficiently that, you know, who knows, maybe the rotation gets blown up that way too.
Mike, we'll start with you for this one. At Muscani John wants to know, do you think there will be a 1,000-yard rusher for the Steelers' backfield this season?
I do. I think it's going to be Le'Veon Bell. I think he's going to be back sooner rather than later, and I think that's going to work. I think he was drafted for a reason. I am not deterred by the early injury problems with Le'Veon Bell. I think he's going to get back on the field and stay there, and when he does, you're going to see why they drafted him where they did.
If he does get back on the field and stay there, I agree with you. The only thing that could derail that, what you're saying, is if he is nicked again and has to miss more time. But, yeah, what I saw from Le'Veon Bell in the preseason at training camp.
Boy, look at these four carries, Bob. Were these four the best you've seen in a long time?
You know, he has what it takes. The only other thing I'll throw in, Mike, the only other qualifier, if the offensive line stays healthy. I don't know that if, you know, you're into your seventh and eighth offensive linemen starting bunches of games in a row. I don't know if, you know, Jim Brown reincarnated could put up 1,000 yards. We'll have to see.
Well, since Le'Veon Bell is out for this week and we've already heard from Isaac Redman, we talked to Felix Jones today to see how his comfort level is and what his plans are for Sunday.
I feel a lot better, you know. I'm more involved with the playbook now, and I got a few more plays under my belt. So, you know, that just makes me feel a lot better. I can play fast now without really thinking too much and go play my game.
With the mental aspect gone, Coach Art obviously said that Isaac's going to be starting, but didn't really give us a hint as to what you and LaRod would be doing supplementing with him. But where do you just feel that, like, you can help the team on Sunday?
Well, just anything, you know, anywhere that, you know, Coach feels best where I can get in and, you know, just when I get my opportunity to make a play.
Running backs by committee, is that something you experienced with your other two teams?
Yeah, pretty much, you know. You know, whatever running backs out there on fire, you know, you just got to continue to ride with them. You know, whatever helps the team out, you know, we're going to support whoever's out there.
Are you hoping to emerge maybe once you get in, show what you can do and kind of stay in? It seems like that's what the plan might be if somebody gets hot.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, once you get an opportunity, you got to make the best of it. And, you know, that's what I plan on doing. And, you know, hopefully I have a great game and go out there and continue to have a great game.
Mike, what are your thoughts on Felix Jones, and do you think, yes, he is more comfortable that he can show something when he gets in after Redmond's in?
Yeah, very impressed so far, Missy. The word I got on Felix Jones right after the Steelers made that trade with Philadelphia was that he's a real affable guy, a real upbeat guy, a good team guy. Couldn't really stay healthy enough in Dallas to be the guy in the backfield. Now, I don't know what happened this summer in Philadelphia. Maybe they're just not interested in running the ball with anyone besides LeSean McCoy, but he can be a perfect complement to what the Steelers already have, assuming what they already have is either Isaac Redman or Le'Veon Bell. And I think you can see this guy, Bob, I hate to use a baseball term, but I think he can hit some home runs on this outside zone stuff. He's a cutback runner. He's got great burst, great wheels. I don't think he's going to question any role. He's just going to be ready to do what they tell him to do when they do it. And he adds something to this backfield that was not there previously.
Yeah, and I think that he probably considers himself pretty lucky. You know, you leave the Cowboys, you sign with the Eagles. That was his choice. Then, you know, he found himself in a situation there where he probably wasn't going to make the team, and he ends up with the Steelers. Now, there are a lot worse franchises you could go to than the Steelers. So, and the Steelers who wanted him. So, you know, I think, Felix Jones, got my Joneses mixed up. Felix Jones is really kind of maybe a little bit energized by the fact of, you know, how his preseason ended up unfolding, looking bad, then ending up with a pretty good team that, you know, has an interest in running the ball and running the ball in a manner that kind of fits your skill set.
You got to make sure you keep up with the Joneses.
Got to keep up with the Joneses, yes.
There is three of them.
There are three of them.
There are three of them. All right, Labs. All right, Twitter question for Labs, and we get off the grammatical thing. This is from at Nick Kelly, NPC. He says, do you think there's any chance the Steelers extend a player before Sunday's game?
No. No, I don't. I mean, I don't I don't see who you would be able to get a deal done with in terms of the player thinking the offer is fair and the Steelers offering, you know, what they believe the guy is worth. You know, I don't, like, for example, Ziggy Hood. What the Steelers would offer for Ziggy Hood right now on a contract extension, I think he would be foolish to accept. At his point in his career, you play it out, you hope for big stats like Mike Wallace did, and then if you want to test the market, you test the market, or you come back to the Steelers with a much more attractive body of work and say, okay, now let's talk. You know, the situation with Ryan Clark, it's simply his age. I mean, his level of play is not below the line in any way, but how far do you extend a guy who's, what, 34 and plays the way he does? So I just don't think that there are any natural kind of fits in terms of getting a deal done, an extension done with anybody right now.
You know, Brett Kiesel's in that same neighborhood as Ryan Clark. Not necessarily a gray beard. The beard looks pretty red to me, or whatever color his hair is. But you see how long these guys last. I don't think either one of them are necessarily going to be champing at the bit to go somewhere else if they have productive years. There's time to work that stuff out after the season,
right,
before free agency starts. And the other guys, I had this conversation with Kevin Colbert in training camp, guys, and I said it's probably not a bad idea to have some of these players with that contract carrot out there playing for their next deal. And he said we would prefer they're playing to win a championship. I get that. But a Jason Worlds, a Ziggy Hood.
And Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah, show us what you got.
Right.
And we'll see how it works
out. Yeah, because a lot of times those things come together where they're playing for a contract.
Amazing how coincidentally that happens.
And, you know, that their contributions then help the team succeed as well.
All right, last Twitter question, Mike. We'll start with you on this one. A lot of people tweeting us some things about Todd Haley, so I'm going to paraphrase and make this a lot nicer. Let's say, do you think that Todd Haley's offense in the second year will be better?
If the offensive line's healthy and productive, it's going to be outstanding, and that would have been the case a year ago. I firmly believe that. I love his concepts, what they're trying to establish. We go over this every so often on this program. I'm going to do it one more time, Bob. Run the football, establish that run, set up play action, and then slow down the rush with the play action when you're not handing it off.
Let your franchise quarterback do his thing.
It combines all elements. It helps control tempo and time of possession. It should still be productive. You got to have healthy players, and you got to have productive players. If you don't have either one of those, it's going to be hard for anybody to coordinate an offense that works well enough to win consistently. But I think they're much further along with it this year. I think everybody's in a much better place now that it's not the first year for Todd Haley. And we'll see if those guys up front get it done, and they are determined to get it done. Marquise Pouncey has talked repeatedly this preseason about the offensive line being the lead position group of the team. If those guys play like the Steelers think they can play, it's going to be a fun season.
Yeah, you mentioned the health of the offensive line. Let's just throw in the obvious, the health of the quarterback. And establishing the run, to me, is critical for this team to improve its red zone success percentage. If you get down inside the 20, inside the 10, and the defense is still worried about you running the ball, and you can run it into the end zone, it opens things up for Ben again. Play action, you know, those kind of things. If your running game is good enough, you can even fake the ball, maybe throw it to number 68 in the end zone. He'll be so open. So I like a lot of the things that he has implemented. Now it's just a question of, you know, can the components stay healthy enough to make it work?
And it's going to need some time this year, circumstances being what they are. You got to get Heath Miller back. You got to get Le'Veon Bell back. And the more games that offensive line plays together, the better it should get. So hopefully in December it's a lot better, the offense, than it will be in September. But I think it can be good enough in September.
All right, well, we answered some of your Twitter questions. We went over the status report. I'm sure you all know what time it is. We're going to play our favorite game, especially on Fridays. It's called Let's Face It. Guys, who's up first?
You might not know me. I'm a former number one draft pick of this team who still isn't a starter. A lot of people have a problem with that, but I, Cam Hayward, am here to tell you that you should not be concerned. I'm in my third year. I've been learning how to be a pro. I've been learning my techniques. I've been learning the scheme. And you might have heard Mike Tomlin on Tuesday during his press conference talking about how they're going to get me involved. They're not doing that because they like me, even though I'm a pretty nice guy. They're doing that because I'm a different guy this season. I have earned my shot. My teammates will tell these reporters off the record that I'm just a different guy this year in my third year. And you're going to see it, Pittsburgh. I might not have the most recognizable face right now, but check back. You'll see. Cam Hayward's about to make his mark in Pittsburgh.
Hi, everybody. I'm Kevin Colbert. I'm the general manager. I'm responsible for this 53-man roster and 8-man practice squad. And I'll tell you what, it's been a pretty busy week for me, even though cuts had to be made last Saturday by 6 p.m. And this is just the kind of team this is. We are, as Mike Tomlin has said to you, we are going to continue to scour the waiver wire and or any other means necessary in order to try and improve our team. And the way our roster is right now, it is one that, you know, is not as deep as some other ones. So I'm just letting everybody know, all you guys on the 53, you, Pursuta, the fat guy who usually stands where I'm standing right now, all of you guys can be replaced. If we find something better, we will take advantage of that.
Glad you think that way, Kevin, because I am Zoltan, and I'm one of those products of your scouring the waiver wire. That's why I'm here. I'm the new punter, if you didn't know. They had a competition between Drew Butler and Brian Moorman in training camp. It didn't work out. My situation didn't work out in New England, so I'm here, and I'm very excited to be here. I'm a 3-year pro. I think I can do this, but I got to tell you, the guy that usually stands where I'm standing now, that Mike Pursuta guy, he's pretty much of the opinion that the punter doesn't matter because he has seen the Steelers win Super Bowls with Bobby Walden and Mitch Berger doing the punting. He's seen the Steelers get to a Super Bowl with Jeremy Kapanos doing the punting. I think I could punt very well, but that Pursuta guy will tell you it really doesn't matter whether I do or not.
Hi, I'm LaRod Stevens Howling, or as Mike Tomlin has started calling me, Lash. And just let me explain that. L-A for LaRod, then S-H for Stevens Howling. The coach, he's really creative with those nicknames like that. And I don't know, maybe LaRod Stevens Howling was a little bit much for him to, you know, get out of his mouth on a consistent basis. But I just want everybody to know, you may have seen me at Heinz Field wearing a different uniform, blue and gold, but from now on I'll be wearing the black and gold. And I'm more than just a throwaway veteran free agent signing from this past offseason. You're going to see me in some roles. I think that if the Steelers get me the ball about 15 touches per game, maybe 10 rushes, a couple of receptions, maybe a couple of kick returns. If there's no kick returns, maybe a couple of more receptions. I'm kind of going to be what Todd Haley hoped Chris Rainey was going to be last year. I'm not a knucklehead, though, so I will be able to do what the team needs me to do without any of the sideshow.
All right, guys. Well, thank you all for joining us today. A great Friday show that we had here. For Bob and Mike, I'm Missy. Thanks for joining
Kevin
us. Make
Lash.
Sure on Sunday after the game. What?
Kevin and Lash.
Oh, sorry. After the game, Tunch and Wolf will have your post-game show live from Heinz Field, and then Monday we will be back for Steelers.com live at 4 from here at the Steelers Southside Practice Facility.
I'm not a knucklehead either. I'm a Romanian.
Pursuit only didn't like the punter because he went to Michigan, but that's okay.
I don't like him either.
We don't.
I went to Ohio State.
We don't have any prejudices against Michigan guys here at the Steelers.
How about Romanians?
No, not that either.
All right, have a good weekend,
America.
Everybody.